You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
We really love you guys. Obviously, we're up in the north end now of Toronto, and things are going really well for us. And we know that a lot of that is because of the love and support that we feel from here. And we know that lots of you are praying for us and everything like that. So thank you for doing that. Now, if you got a Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, I'm pretty sure an usher will give a Bible to you if you let them know that you need one, and you can keep that if you don't own it. But Luke chapter 1. Now, we tend sometimes to check out during announcements. Sometimes we're like, we've heard this before, and so we sort of check out, like that kid in the, you know, in class, and the announcement comes on, and you think, like, this is an opportunity for them to catch up with friends. Or the frequent flyer, the person who travels all the time, and so they're like, you know, I've heard the what to do in an emergency and all that sort of stuff piece, and so they get it, they put the luggage in the overhead compartment, and they sit down, and they check right out. Or the church member, who when Pastor Andrew comes up here, they think that's a moment, maybe, that, you know, where's my pen, or everything like that. It's a chance to kind of slip off the jacket, or if you're like me, you sort of check the code to make sure that, you know, what's the code if my kid gets called? We tend to check out sometimes during announcements. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she doesn't do that. In our text today, we're going to see her in the middle of an announcement, but she's not checked out. She is fully tuned in to what is being said to her. And because what is being said to her is going to change her life. What the angel Gabriel says to her has life-changing effects for her, and so she is tuned in. She is paying full attention. And the same way she is attentive in the middle of this announcement, we are to be attentive. Because what is said to her has an effect on us as well. See, in this announcement, we are going to learn three crucial things about God. As he speaks to her, there's three crucial things that we learn about God. And from Mary, we are going to learn one way that we are to respond to God. Here's our main idea for our passage today. Because God is unchanging, we should submit to his will at all times. Because God is unchanging, we are to submit to his will at all times, trusting him with our life. Look at verse 26 of chapter 1. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, that the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Here's our first point today. God gives grace to the lowly. God gives his grace to the lowly. Verse 26 again, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." That phrase, "in the sixth month," is actually referring to how far along Elizabeth is in her pregnancy. It's during this time that Gabriel shows up with this news for Mary. And Mary's life, you got to understand, her life at this point is heading in a very specific direction. Her life is on a very specific path. It says that she was betrothed to Joseph. They're in a relationship. They've made some commitments to one another. They're about to start a life together. It's possible that Mary, when Gabriel shows up, is just daydreaming about what life may look like with Joseph. What's it going to look like in our first week? What's it going to look like when we move in together? What's it going to look like in after our first year together? We don't know exactly what she was doing, but here's what we know for sure about Mary. We know for sure she was poor. We also know for sure that she was uneducated. And we also know that she is from a small town that is far away from the center of power. It'd be like growing up in Milton versus growing up in New York City. We know these things about her. We don't know exactly what she was doing, but we know she was considered lowly. Mary even knows this about herself. Look over at verse 46. She said, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." She knows she's from humble beginnings. She knows that she is not considered powerful or even all that worthy. That word "favored" in verse 28 means to be treated with undeserved kindness. It means to be treated with undeserved kindness. God is being kind to Mary by giving her the task of bringing our Savior and her Savior into the world. God was showing her grace. She experienced the kindness of God, so that one day, all people who trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, all people one day would experience God's kindness in the gospel. And when you think about it, when we trusted in Christ, it was God giving grace to the lowly. Do you understand that? When we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, that was a moment where God was giving grace to a lowly people. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 1. It says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. When I was coming into the world, it wasn't sort of on a standstill, like, we can't wait for Marvin to come. What are they going to name him? No one cared outside of my parents. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." He was giving us grace, and we have nothing to boast about. All we are to be is people who are filled with thankfulness. God gives grace. This unchanging grace given, God was being kind to us. And Mary here, Mary is the object of grace. She is not the source of grace. That's why it doesn't make sense to pray to her. She doesn't have grace to give. She is the object of grace, not the source of grace. And as we daily submit to God's will for our lives, as we come to him each day and say, "I am your servant," what is going to happen is that God is going to give us more grace. And God doesn't just give us grace, he also keeps his promise. Look at verse 29. It says, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" Here's point number to. God fulfills his promise to the waiting. God fulfills his promise to those who are waiting. In verse 29, it says that she was troubled. The visit startled her. She doesn't know what is going on. It says that she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Mary here is perplexed. She's confused. She has no idea what is about to come next. The angel, again, knows this, and so he explains to her, "Don't be afraid," he says, "for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Here's something that's so important. Notice that this is the second time that the angel says she is favored. You catch that? This is the second time that he tells her that she is favored. And he tells her this while telling her she is going to be involved in an event that is going to change the world. The world is never going to be the same after this. He tells her that she is favored. But this event that she is involved in is also going to bring pain into her life. She is going to be involved in a world-changing event, but this event is going to bring pain into her life. In Luke 2, verse 35, it says, Mary is told that a sword will pierce through her own soul from being the mother of Jesus. This is pointing forward to the future sorrow and suffering she will experience while watching her son die on the cross for our sins and hers. And there's an important lesson in this for us, because there's some people who will tell you that you are only favored, that God is only blessing you when good things are going on in your life. But that's not completely true. And this text shows that. Mary's life shows that. See, submitting to God's will at all times means that there are going to be hard things in your life. It's not that like when we trust God, when we look at his word and we say, you know what, I'm going to do what you say. It doesn't mean everything is going to always be easy. Sometimes hard things are going to come. But even in those moments, even in the midst of the tough stuff, even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the sorrow, you are still favored. Why? Because God is with you. Because he is with you, sanctifying you, carrying you so often, with you in it, and using that thing for his ultimate purposes. And so we, even in the middle of all of those things that can be difficult, and some of us are in that spot right now, even in the middle of the tough things, we can still say, God, I'm going to submit and I'm going to trust you, because I believe by your word that you are with me. So Gabriel tells Mary she's going to be a part of a world-changing event. And then notice he tells her to name him Jesus. He says that in verse 31. That name means God saves, or the Lord is salvation. He also says he will be great. He says he will be great. And through the ministry of Jesus, Jesus says that the way to greatness is to serve. That if you want to be great, the way to do that is to take the road of a servant. And Jesus did that. He humbled himself, it says in the word, becoming a servant, willingly living for us, and willingly dying on the cross for our sins. He models for us the way we are to live our life. That we are to be not a boastful people, but humble people who are willing to serve one another, knowing that this is the way to true greatness. Serve. Living the way of Jesus. Humility. We will never lose if we choose to be humble and walk the way of a servant. Gabriel also tells her that he will be called the Son of the Most High. Look at verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And that line there connects back to a promise that was made to David in 2 Samuel 7. It says this in 2 Samuel 7. It says, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Your throne shall be established forever. See, the people of Israel, they're waiting for 400 years for this promise to be fulfilled, because it wasn't fulfilled in Solomon. He failed in this. And Luke and Matthew tell us that Jesus' earthly father is from the house of David. And so Jesus is in the line of David. And so with his birth, this promise is beginning to be fulfilled. God is keeping his word to his people, and he's putting his true king on his throne. See, God here, keeping his word to a people who have been waiting for so long, for many, many years. He was faithful to his people then, and he will be faithful to his people now. Again, this is why we can submit to God's plan for us. This is why we surrender all of our life and our plans to his will, because he will never fail us. All of the promises that he gives to us when he says, trust me and walk in my ways, do what I tell you, he is going to be faithful to fulfill those promises to us. And so we submit and surrender to him at all times. Not only does he keep his word, he can also do the impossible. Look at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Point number three is this: God guarantees the impossible to the hopeless. God guarantees the impossible to the hopeless. Mary asks an honest question. She says, how shall this be? Now, she doesn't ask this because she doesn't believe. This isn't a question that's driven by unbelief. She asks it because she hasn't been with a man. So she believes. She just wants to know how. And her honest question gets an honest answer. Verse 35, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Her son will be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit will overshadow her. See, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God does the impossible. Now, multiple times, we're told here Mary's a virgin. And that's an important detail. And Phil Ryken explains why this is so important. He says, only the virgin birth preserves the humanity and deity of Jesus. His conception by the Spirit points to his deity. His birth from a woman points to his humanity. One person, two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. And because he was conceived by a unique creative act of the Holy Spirit, this is important, Jesus was not corrupted by the guilt of Adam. Fallen humanity cannot produce its own Savior. We cannot save ourselves. He had to come from somewhere outside by way of divine initiative and intervention. God did the impossible. When God the Father, he is the one takes the initiative. He is the one who intervenes by divine intervention. And when he does that, what he's doing is he is opening the door of our salvation. We cannot save ourselves. A rescuer had to come from outside of us. And God the Father makes sure that happens by sending us his son. Now Mary, she didn't ask for a sign, but she gets one anyway. She didn't ask, she didn't say, show me something that's going to help me to believe this. But God gives her one anyway. Look at verse 36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Here's the verse. For nothing will be impossible with God. If you don't have that memorized or written down somewhere, that should just be everywhere. In your house, in your car, on your coffee cup. For nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that? That nothing is impossible with God. The woman who was barren. And in that culture, to not be able to have a child, you were looked down on. The woman who is barren, the woman who is old, who's probably given up all hope of ever having a child, is having one now. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. If he wants to do something, he can do it. Her hope is restored. If God can make babies come from a barren woman, he also has the power to bring about the virgin birth. Nothing is impossible with God. Here's where it gets real for us. If God is able to do this, God is more than able to handle that difficult thing going on in your life. He is more than able to handle that thing. He is the God of miracles. And because we live in a broken world by sin, as I said before, hard things are going to come. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. That is a true reality. There are things that are going to come into our life that are going to make us feel hopeless. They're going to make us feel like, it's impossible for me to navigate this. It's impossible for me to do this. But everything changes when we turn to God. Everything changes when we surrender ourselves to him, when we come to him and say, I need help. See, Romans 15, verse 13 says that God is the God of hope. How come nobody said amen? God is the God of hope. Couple people. See, it's right for this church and our church to be called Hope Church. That is the correct name. Because we are never without hope. Because we serve a God who gives hope to the hopeless. And so when we get up every day, we get up knowing, yes, today may be tough, but I'm never without hope. There's never a moment that I don't have hope because God is with me and nothing is impossible for him. And so even when I feel like I'm too weak to manage it, I turn and I say, you handle it. And he says, that's right. You're finally embracing the kind of humility you should have. You're finally choosing to live your life in the way I'm telling you to live it, in full dependence on me, in full embrace of your weakness and your humanity, turning to me and saying, I need your help. And he says, I'm here. Nothing is impossible with God. And so we turn to him in all situations. We serve God of hope, who gives hope to the hopeless. And when those situations make us feel so weak, when we turn to him, God will solve those things for us. But this is important. If it will lead to his glory and make us more like Christ. And sometimes he won't solve it. I want to make sure that there's balance here. Because we don't just find hope because the thing gets worked out. We also find hope because even if God does not solve it, he will carry us through. He will give us the strength. He will sustain us as we wait upon him to make all things new. There are some things in our life that won't get solved now, but everything will be put right in the end. And so we always have hope, even if we are left waiting. Because he will make it right. He gives hope to the hopeless. With him, no situation is hopeless. That's why all people need to come to this God and place their faith in him. This is our unchanging God, and because of who he is, because he's gracious, because he is kind, because he always keeps his word, Mary shows us how we should respond. Look at verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Because of who God is, we respond by submitting to his plan without seeing. Because of who God is, because of all that we have just learned, we submit to his plan without seeing. When you consider what is going on in Mary's life, her response is amazing. Remember, I started by saying, her life's going somewhere. She is on the verge of taking the biggest step she was ever going to take. It's heading somewhere, and her response is, "Behold." Now, whenever somebody uses that in the New Testament, when they go, "Behold," what they're saying is, "Pay attention. Listen to what I'm about to say. This is important." She says, "Behold." She now is talking to the angel. She's like, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." Her response is amazing. Mary takes God at his word. This is the response of a true disciple. All her plans are about to change. Her life is going in a completely new direction. Think about this. She does not know if Joseph will leave her. See, we know what happens because we're on the other side of the story. She doesn't know if he's going to leave her. She doesn't know if the people in the town are going to judge her as the pregnancy starts to show. She doesn't know that they are going to have to get up and run to Egypt and hide in order to protect Jesus from being killed. She knows none of that. She doesn't know that they're not going to have a place to even have the baby. She has none of that. She doesn't know at this moment the pain she will feel when she watches him die. None of that she is aware of. And with all those uncertainties, with all those details not given to her, my girl says, "I'm in." No hesitation. As soon as she gets just enough detail, she says, "I am in." See, some people, they don't want to do anything for God until they're like, "Give me all the details. I want it to be all clear. I want it to be all easy. And when it looks like I'm going to be all right, when it looks like it's not going to be tough for me, then I'll do the thing." Not her, though. "I am in," she says. "I am the servant of the Lord." All those uncertainties, she trusts that God will take care of the situation with Joseph. She trusts God with her reputation. She trusts God to carry her through suffering. She trusts him with it all. And that is what we are supposed to do. We are to trust God with every moment, every detail of our life. Daryl Bach says this. He says, the portrait Luke paints of Mary is significant. She is a model believer, taking God at his word, thoughtful, obedient, believing, worshipful, a faithful follower. She did not ask for or seek this role in God's plan. God has simply stepped into her life and brought her into his service. You get that? She didn't ask for this. He just showed up and said, "Here's how it's going." Her asset is faithfulness and openness to serve God. Luke wants us to identify with Mary's example. Mary shows us here that we've always got to be ready for God to show up and change the plan. And without hesitation, jumping onto his plan. If there's this verse in the Bible that people love, that all things work for good for those who love God. And you know what nobody ever says at the end? That are called according to his purpose. It works for good when we realize it's not according to my purpose, it's according to his. That I'm actually in this thing for him, that it's his story, not mine. and that he has the freedom to do what he wants in my life. I said this at T-North. When my life was on the trajectory of just playing football, partying, and that's it, and hoping to figure it out by the time I turned 30. And God was like, nope. Knee injury, that's it. Depression lifts me out of that. And he says, you're going this way. And it got easier once I submitted. Once I said, I'm going to trust you with the details, because at this, right now, I've got nothing. And so many people, they live miserable lives. And you know why they live miserable lives? Because they keep trying to do their plan instead of getting on God's plan. And saying, I'm going to trust you with my life. That I'm called according to your purpose, not my own. We've always got to be ready, like Mary, to say, I am the servant of the Lord. Do what you want with me, God. Because we know that submitting to God's will at all times leads to God's glory, our sanctification, and ultimately our glorification. Mary says, I am the servant of the Lord. Her theology is driving her obedience. Her theology is driving her obedience. She says, I am the servant of the Lord. She calls him Lord. She knows her creator and king deserves her service whenever he calls for it, however he calls for it. See, there are people in our culture that worship Mary, and that's wrong. But sometimes our church tradition can make her seem insignificant. That's also wrong. Because she is significant. She is important. We are not to worship her, but we are to admire her character. Mary here is one of the strong women in the Bible. And we have to thank God for strong, Christ-exalting, God-honoring women in our lives. She is one of the strong women in the Bible. And Gabriel comes to her with this surprising announcement, with a whole new plan for her life, saying it's going this way now. And God will do that to us sometimes. He may show you that in his word. He may use someone in your life to speak into it, and you clearly sense it's time to go in a new direction. God is calling me in a different way, and he won't always give you all the details. We feel that at T-North. We've started this church, but we don't have all the details, and I want the details. But God's like, it doesn't work like that. You need to trust me. You need to submit to my will at all times. And we can do that. Because even though we don't have all the details, here's what we do know for sure. That God is gracious and kind. That God is faithful to his word. That God can do the impossible. And so when he calls us, we submit. Because of who he is. He is unchanging. And as we follow him, as we let his scriptures speak to us and guide us and submit to the divine will, he will look after all of the details as we trust him with our life. And it will be for his glory and for our good. Let's pray. And so, Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for this story. A true story, Lord God, of the way you changed Mary's life. But also a beautiful picture of what it means to be humble and to submit and to trust that God knows better. And to trust that he will take care of all the details. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are sitting here right now, Lord. Who, God, maybe who are in all kinds of different situations, different things going on in their life. And God, they are needing to submit to your will at all times. Lord, knowing that your will for us is so good, that your plan is better than any plan we could ever make. God, I pray that you would help me, even as you have taught me this week, how much I don't want to submit to your will, how much I want to do my own thing, how much I want things to go a certain way. Lord, I pray you'd help us to know that our life doesn't get easier, but our life gets better when we submit to you at all times, trusting you with the details, our reputation, what we'll eat, where we'll live, all of these things, what you'll bring into our life. God, help us. Help us, I pray, to believe that you know best and to let you lead. Lord, you are King. You are worthy, Lord God, of our worship, both singing and the way we live. And you call us to say, oh God, that we are, I am the servant of the Lord. I pray, Father, that that would be our heart leaving today. That I am, not king, the servant of the King. In Jesus' name, amen.